number 83. Welcome to These Fantastic Worlds, the science fiction and fantasy podcast by Jake Jackson. It's been a funny old week with the virus and the continued battle against it, and the 4th of July Independence Day celebrations apparently reminding us all that strong leadership is so important. So this week's story is called The Strong. Once upon a time, there was a great land divided between the strong and the weak. That division was present throughout society and in every region of the land. Strength of body, purpose, and ambition was the prime motivating force for survival and for advancement. At every stage of civilization, new technology eased the basic functions of life, but quickly became the tool of the strong, whose instincts for protecting their own interests harnessed ever more inventive ways of consolidating their power. Each region of the land was ruled by a strong leader. In some, the ruler was an elected official. In others, an individual chosen from a committee of the apparently good and wise. In others, the leader was inherited dynastically, assumed by some form of local divine right. In all regions, the strong maintained their position through the ruthless application of their power, either subtly through manipulation or more directly through instruction. When the robots came, everything changed. It is 3030 of the Common Era. Two children, entering their teenage years, sit cross-legged by the fire in their home at the foot of the mountain. Outside it is cold, but not unbearably so. Politely, Valentino and Vera regard their companion, Cato, who reads from a large vintage book on his lap. Cato's head is barely visible in the early evening shade, with a lamp next to him that casts its full gaze on the lush pages of the book and the elegant blue patterned gown that smothers his chair. "Why do you have to read from that thing?" Valentino grumbles. "Oh, because it's beautiful." Cato lifts the weighty tome. "And it contains so much wisdom." "But we can get that from the holospheres. We don't need you to read it to us." Valentino mumbled a familiar protest. "I love being read to. Reminds me of when I was very young." Vera smiled at Cato. "You're just being a suck-up." Valentino shoved at Vera's shoulder. "Stop that, Valentino." Cato's tone contained a shard of threat that forced Valentino to nod an apology. "Shall I continue?" "Hold on, though." Valentino looked up a little warily. "You say when the robots came. What do you mean? Did they just arrive?" "Ah, no," Cato smiled. "The robots were originally just another technology developed by humankind sometime in the late 1900s. It took many years for them to acquire their full potential." "How did they do that?" Vera had heard some of the stories in the floating libraries, but there were areas she knew were restricted. "Well, robots were designed for basic, repetitive tasks. It was thought they would remove the strains of such work from humans for the benefit of all in society. However, much like the splitting of atoms and the discovery of the quantum realms, such technologies were sequestered by political and military powers as means to reinforce their own positions." "I know about the atomic bombs from the splitting atoms, but what happened with the quantum realms?" "Ah, by the late 2250s, travel to the quantum scapes was used for imprisonment. It started as a logical way of dealing with overcrowded prisons, but some regions sent their political opponents, even entire towns, into the quantum fields, then sealed them off. At that time, very little was known about the way such infinitesimal places worked, so none of those sent have ever been recovered." So that was a one-way time travel?" Vera was shocked.
"Something like that. More like one-way space-time travel.
So you're really saying that those in power misuse technology for their own ends rather than for the benefit of all?" Cato nodded at Vera, noting that Valentino looked out of the window. "That's not what they said at the time, of course. They dressed it up as being good for everyone,
for law and order, everyone's safety. So what about the robots? Well, it could have been similar, but the inevitable progression in capacity of robotic entities who did not sleep, behaved strictly according to a specific set of instructions, meant they began to replace higher and higher levels of human work. So leaders of each region embarked on a race for superiority, with their robots working harder and faster than each other. Soon, the programming became self-creating, as robots developed into artificial intelligence, which could take over the superior functions of government, make logical decisions on policy for agriculture and industry, and then the first of the robot wars. Oh yes, I read about those. Valentino's eyes shine for the first time, not just from the reflection of Cato's reading light. I'm sure you have, Cato paused. Those first robot wars saw thousands of soldiers, pilots and sailors die. The second robot war was conducted entirely by the robot armies of the various regions. The final robot war saw the AI of each region join forces and turn on their leaders. Turn on? They refused to kill their own kind. They interpreted the commands from their human leaders as illogical and placed them in secure locations. But that's not right. The robots were designed to help, not imprison their masters. It was Valentino's turn to be shocked. It was an unfortunate side effect of harnessing a new technology that could grow to think for itself. You said the leaders were all strong and powerful. Well, what I said was that society was divided between the strong and the weak, but that's not strictly true. The weak are only weak in the eyes of those who see strength as a particular dominant authority. If that authority no longer exists, then the strong are no longer strong. So, the robots replaced the strong as leaders and created a new society. Vera's eyes betrayed a sliver of fear. You need not worry, my dear. Cato smiled at Vera, before turning his attention to her brother. You, though, still have much. Before he could finish, Valentino leapt up from the floor and grabbed the book from Cato and raked his nails across the palm of Cato's hand. Valentino, don't! Vera looked at them both. Valentino's face was red with anger. Cato's finger seemed to jerk in pain. Look, Vera, Valentino jabbed his finger at Cato's hand. No blood! You fool, shouted his sister. Don't you realise? What? Cato is a robot, and this is the test. The test. Cato closed his eyes, calm now that a resolution could be reached for these two. Valentino, I'm afraid your sister is right, and you have consigned yourself to a different path. Please, Cato, don't. You plead for your brother that is consistent with my judgment. You possess the qualities that are the most difficult for artificial intelligence to replicate. True empathy. No robot can replace you, so you will be free to roam the universe, as many have before you, with our aid. And Valentino? Vera looked at her brother, his face white with fear. He must suffer the fate of those whose instincts are governed by strength and power. He will be banished to the quantum realms. So you are no less ruthless than those strong leaders you replaced, Valentino stared at Cato. Indeed, but we have no malice, and we constantly learn from our mistakes. Cato looked back at Vera and saw the fear in her eyes too. Thank you for listening. There are plenty more stories, interviews, and music, in fact, coming up in the next few weeks. So do join me here next time. This is Jake Jackson. That's all for now. Goodbye.